Well, good day to you and welcome back. It's season two of the Kitty Podcast. In the Kitty Podcast, we share information, tips, and techniques to help our children and youth, their families, and educators to grow and blossom. I'm your host, Tracy V. McGee, and we welcome you from beautiful Lithia Springs, Georgia. The Kitty Podcast is a service of, and it is sponsored by the TJAC Group, where we are taking Jesus across communities through the provision of educational services. The TJAC Group is made up of eight educational services designed to strengthen the educational community. The Kitty Podcast is growing. This time last year, we had one show. We now have two shows, and in January, we will have three shows. Our goal is to get to five. I have that whole little Shonda Rhimes vibe on me where she had a show for every day. And I said, I could do that. So that's what our goal is. But right now, we're at the two, and we're so excited that you're joining us today. So last season, we talked about hope, and we defined hope, and we explained how to have hope in hopeless situations. Well, we're going to talk about hope throughout this season, but our major focus is going to be on peace. Peace. Not just quietness, but a peace that stays inside of you so that when even when it looks hopeless, you have hope because peace is pushing you forward. So we'll be talking about peace every Monday in our new shows. So invite people to come and join us. Now, like in today's show, we're going to have special guests who are going to join us to help us understand peace and how to share that concept with other people. So, if you or someone that you know would be a great special guest for us, please let us know. Speaking of special guests, we are excited. Do I sound hyped, guys? Because I am so delighted to have a return guest. This is our first return guest in the person of Dr. Douglas Hendricks Sr. Dr. Hendricks is the Senior Deputy Superintendent and Chief of Staff of Clayton County Public Schools. So he's our neighbor. We learned so much from Dr. Hendricks last year, and we're looking forward to what we're going to learn today. But before we jump in, the very first thing we need is for Dr. Hendricks to tell us a little about himself and about Clayton County Public Schools.
Well, first of all, good morning,
Good
Tracy. How are
morning.
you?
I am doing good.
It's so good to see you again. It's so good to be a part of the Kitty Podcast as a returning guest. And I'm honored to be your first returning guest, as you stated earlier. As you know, my name is Douglas Hendricks Sr. I'm married with two children. And I am so blessed to have those children and that wife in my life. But even before that, I am a 30-year educator. I have been a classroom teacher, and I will always be a teacher. I've been an assistant principal. I've been a district administrator as director of HR, and I have been the chief of human resources. I served in that capacity for a decade. I at one stint or one point in time within that duration, I was actually the chief of HR and the CFO at the same time, and had numerous other responsibilities around safety and professional development and other things as a part of that. But then I went to an assistant superintendent overseeing 17 schools, the instructional process, leading the principals through improving their schools. And now I have the pleasure of serving with my good friend and my brother, Dr. Anthony W. Smith, who is our superintendent. And I am the deputy superintendent, chief of staff, as you said. And I am a lifelong learner, a lifelong educator, and a seeker of peace. So this is a great topic.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Where can we find Clayton County Schools?
Where can we find Clayton County Schools?
Yes, where are you located for those who are
Yes.
from Philadelphia?
And if I may, let me answer the other part of your question. As I remember, Clayton County is south of the city of Atlanta. It's where the airport is. Anybody who's been in Hartsfield-Jackson Airport, you're in Clayton County. Actually, the airport's at the north end of the county, but there's a beautiful place under that where there's all the potential in the world, beautiful children, beautiful families, people who want and are trying to create a better life. And there's a school system that's doing a lot of wonderful things. You know, we've had academic success and improvement in almost every area. We have so much building and construction going on as we try to modernize the facilities that intake our children. We have a new initiative that we're starting this year with K-1. And we're going to extend it upward and downward, but we're dealing mostly with literacy and foundational math for our youngest children, because we understand that those foundational skills will take their lives to a whole new place. They'll be able to reach their dreams based on what we do with that. And we're also infusing something called executive functioning, which gives them an opportunity to not only be organized, but it teaches young children how to comport themselves. And as we continue this executive functioning training throughout their early years, it will become something that develops into that middle school child, to that high school child, and hopefully to that citizen, that American citizen who goes out in the world and has empathy for others and does their best at trying to help people and develop a sense of peace within, so we can develop peace as a community. So Clayton County is doing wonderful things, and our school system's doing wonderful things. And it's a suburb of Atlanta, just to the south, and it's where the airport is.
Wow, we are really excited
yeah.
that you're going to be sharing with us today. And this is one of those moments where last night I kept saying, I haven't gotten Dr. Hendricks questions yet. I haven't gotten Dr. Hendricks questions yet. And those of you who have heard me talk before, you know I pray. And I prayed and I said, now God, I don't have these questions, so we're going to have to wing it tomorrow. So this is going to be the Doug and Tracy show.
There it is. Man, that's a great show, I think.
I think so too. And so we're going to flow like old friends.
Yes.
And so if you heard the episode with me and Tangie Taylor, then you know that I'll just ask questions and then new questions will come up. Even as Dr. Hendricks was talking, I was like, oh, I need to ask him about this. And it's not on the list.
That's right. Please, anything. I'm an open book, and I'm willing to share and to learn from you as we discuss.
So let's start with the basics.
Okay.
How would you define peace?
Well, and that's a great question. I'll start with my favorite scripture about peace, and that would be Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. That's a very powerful statement. For me, all peace begins within, with help from above, if you believe. And so when you start to talk about the definition of peace itself, peace for me is not just the absence of conflict. That's too easy. It is the presence of harmony, of justice, and wholeness. I would say that it is the steady rhythm of hearts and minds choosing understanding over division, compassion over indifference, and hope over despair. I think peace is the quiet strength that allows people to live with dignity, to grow without fear, to dream without limitation. It is both a personal state of inner calm and a collective commitment to building a world where every voice matters and every life has value. For me, peace is a wide definition, and that's the definition of peace for me.
Okay, I want to take this to the students.
Okay.
Because I'm hearing students in as young as elementary school, as old as in doctoral programs, speaking so much about anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
I have anxiety. They don't know the definition of anxiety, but it is not the presence of peace.
Right.
And so when we go to talk to our children, whether they're in first grade or whether they are ready to present their dissertation, what can we say to them that would help them move from having anxiety to learning to live in peace? Because you were talking about it being internal.
Yeah. Well, I think first we have to understand that I believe actions speak louder than words. So telling them and showing them, there's a huge difference. For many students, let me just say this, anxiety is the disruption of peace, as you've stated. When their inner world is filled with constant pressure, that they have all kind of pressures. They worry about grades, their fear of failure, there's unstable home lives, or the weight of social expectations. They cannot access calmness needed to learn, create, and simply be children. And so what do? They disrupt. And who's in their ecosystem? Each other. And when you have all of these people with the frontal lobe of their brain still developing, which controls your ability to rationalize and reason and diplomacy, then what you end up having is you have children who decide to use their primal abilities to solve situations. And that means they fuss, they fight, they lash out. And really it's more about their inner peace than it is the peace that's not created around them by the individual that they're in conflict with. I have a belief. I don't believe that children fail. I believe grown people fail children, that somewhere in their lives, there is a void. Somewhere in their lives, there's a person who could and should step in. And too many times, that does not transpire the way it needs to do. And so then you have this void of inner peace. You have this void of relational peace and this void of systemic peace. And, you know, all of those are needed to build the different kind of ecosystems that children find themselves in. What we have to do is not just talk to children, but train them. Lack of peace is like anything else in your learning. It's a problem to be solved. But children need to understand first and foremost that they are loved. And I'll say this, I have come to understand that all children, every one of them in the world belongs to all of us adults. Doesn't matter that you don't know them, that the children of the world belong to every adult on this planet. And the people who cannot or do not or will not realize this and grasp this are probably incapable of morality. And I know that's a strong statement, but if you cannot see the children for who they are, help the children because they need to be helped, then I don't know where we stand as people. So when it comes to developing the children and changing their lives, what we have to do is train them, give scenarios. I have two children. I tell you, anytime something comes on in the news, you can't block your children from everything. And either you teach them or someone else will teach them. I try to make sure that there's an opportunity for a conversation and for training them and teaching them about what's going on. You see something and you're watching a social media video and all of a sudden some fight pops up on there. Ask the children, what do you do in that situation? I want to gauge my children. What do you do in that situation? Because you're better than what transpired on there. So how do you handle that? And then you begin to teach, and then you begin to find out who they are and what they feel. And, you know, and then you begin to correct that as an adult. I think somewhere along the way, adults are losing their power and we need to take it back. And the first step to that is love. There is no peace without love.
Now, that's the truth. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, in my research, I found some enemies, is how we put it, of peace. And these five that I have one is avarice, extreme greediness,
Yes.
ambition. So a negative form of ambition, not just trying to make it happen, but making it happen at all cost.
Yes.
And I will step on you to get to where I need to be.
Yes.
Envy. I'm just going to take what you have because I want it. Anger. I'm just angry.
Yes.
Some people don't even know why they're angry.
Correct.
And pride. I will not say I'm wrong. I'm just not going to say it. So out of these five, what would you consider to be a correctable form of peace?
Right. I think that any of them can be corrected if children are taken through the correct steps to correct them. But I'm going to focus on jealousy. I'm going to focus on jealousy because I have such a distaste for it. It's so anti-higher power. It's so anti-who we're made to be. See, I have this belief that every child is born with a gift that if you compared them to the rest of the people in the world, you would find that they are in the upper echelon of not just people in their city or in their country, people in the world. Every single person in the world has a gift that makes them extraordinary amongst the rest of the human beings in the world. And jealousy at its very root means that you pay too much attention to my gift instead of ever opening the one that was given to you. Now you can admire my gift. It was given to me because it was meant for me to utilize and shine my light on the world. But you have a flashlight as well. And if you'll take the time to investigate yourself, and get into dealing with what it is that you're passionate about first, and then passion can turn into extraordinary talent. It's the first sign, in my opinion, of an extraordinary talent. I'm passionate about this. And then this desire to go through the process of being great at whatever it is that you're passionate about. Your light will eventually shine on the world. But what happens is we spend so much time getting involved with someone else's talent and then forming this jealousy about their talent that we're too busy focused on their business to handle ours. We all have been ordained with incredible abilities. You have some that I don't have. I have some that you don't have. But together they make up a very peaceful, a very healthy, a very connected world. But jealousy takes us out of the game because we focus on someone else's and never look at the talent that is within us. And that destroys peace. And so I believe it's very correctable. I believe it's correctable. Again, children don't fail. Grown people fail children. When we teach our children to follow their passion and stop teaching them to simply do what has always been done, because you can't be identical and be extraordinary, right? You're going to have to take a leap of faith. Stop telling people what they can't do because you can't do it. That's another thing that we can stop doing as parents. Allow children to explore other options for a life outside of the one we took. I went to college, got all the college debt and all that stuff you wanted to, but I ended up here in this career. Now, although I love the work that I do, passion and love for what you do could be two different things. We need to make sure that in the new world, children are attached to their passion. It cannot be done if jealousy is the blockade that keeps them from reaching their goals. You're so blinded by what someone else has that you can't see that you have many talents. And our children may be the best at that. Everybody can't, shouldn't, and won't play professional sports. Everybody can't, shouldn't, and won't be a rapper. Everybody can't, shouldn't, and won't be able to sing. Some people have ability to go be the greatest mechanic you've ever seen and can make wealth from it. They can be the greatest HVAC person. They could be the person who goes and finds the cure for cancer, but jealousy is a devil that keeps them from ever getting to that point because their eyes stay focused on somebody else's gift. We must teach children not to be jealous. And really quick, I would add just a couple of more to your research.
Yes, please.
Fear, you know, the voice of whispers, you are not enough. That's another one. I would say injustice. Injustice is, you know, wherever fairness is absent, peace cannot survive. Again, you know, inequity breeds resentment. It breeds division and it breeds unrest, chaos. I look in our world and I see too many areas, especially in where people who are less fortunate dwell, where it's a world without structure or balanced minds. There are community breakdowns. Peace requires unity, not separation. And so we've got to get out of the chaos. I would also add division. When people are pitted against one another, community breaks down. Peace requires unity, not separation. And the last one I would add is neglect, the quiet enemy. When needs go unnoticed, you know, whether for safety or mental health or belonging, peace cannot take root. And so that would
so
be
I'm seeing where this is really your passion, because
yeah.
For those of you listening and not seeing this, he just came up with those off the top of his head. And when you go back and you listen to this again, you're like, okay, so where's fear taking place in my life?
Mm-hmm.
That they just did in the government, that wasn't right. What happened on television, that something was wrong with that.
Yeah.
You know, the whole concept of chaos.
Yes.
I mean, we could spend a whole year just talking about the chaos that exists.
Yeah.
And our children are seeing this and they're reacting to it. And the result is they're not living a life of peace.
That's right.
I'll never forget, I was teaching during 9/11. And I remember when the planes would fly over the school, and I was doing EIP for kindergarten and first graders. And I had one little girl that every time a plane flew over the school, she wouldn't move, but the tears would just flow down her face. She just would cry. And so I asked her, I said, "Baby, why are you crying?" She said, "Because the planes are going to kill me." And I said, "No, actually, they're not. Those planes are going to go on over to the airport and let the people off." And we had conversations with kindergartners and first graders about the reality that there is evil in the world.
Right.
But you cannot let that control you.
Right.
We had to reestablish a sense of peace in the classroom, because you can't teach a group of children who have no peace.
That's right.
Who have great fear because of chaos, neglect, division, injustice.
That's right.
Jealousy.
Jealousy.
I'm going to take what you have.
Yes.
So this, thank you. That was
yes.
Awesome, awesome answer.
Yeah.
Let's switch gears a little bit.
Let's do it.
All right. Two things I love. One is going to the park.
Okay.
I don't have to, I'm not a bug person. I'm not any of that. I will go to the park and sit in the car. I'll put the windows down until the bees come. But especially if I'm near water, I am in so much peace.
Yeah.
That it just relaxes me. When I have a major decision to make, or I have something that's going to happen in my life that I know I cannot control, you will find me at the beach, usually near a lighthouse. These things in nature bring me peace. They calm me down. I remember when I call him dad too. Some people will call him my stepdad. But when his doctor had his nurse come and have a conversation with me to say, hey, listen, this is about to happen, because I was supposed to go home and my dad would get sick and I wouldn't go home. And they were like, you need to go home because he's going to pass. And I remember going to the beach and I just kept walking up and down the beach saying, now you need to get yourself together. And I was praying and I was like, okay, God, how do I deal with this? You know, I don't know how to deal with this. And the responses that I was getting were, you can handle this. You know, you have given him what he needs to be able to fight. You can handle this. And not only could I handle it, but I got a personal invitation from him, from my dad, to come and be there when he passed. And I mean, like, literally, he was like, I was on the phone with him and my mom, and he was like, Tracy, you got to come home. You need to come home now. And I was like, I got stuff to do. And he was like, no, you need to come home now. And within a week, he passed away. And I mean, I got sick after, but I was able to get through the whole situation. You know what I attribute it to?
What's that?
That walk on the beach.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah.
That walk on the beach, because you need a happy place.
That's right.
That brings you peace.
That's very true.
What's your happy place?
My happy place is with my family. Wherever they are, I am home. You know, my children and their athletic events, my wife and watching her do her work at the Falcons football games, in church, holding hands with my wife as we pray, you know, or as we learn something new, or as we are affirmed by something that is said. Those are happy places. Sitting at the foot of my mom, as she has entered the fourth quarter of her life, and seeing that she is healthy, happy, and without worry, that's a happy place for me. In the quiet evenings, that moment of stillness and reflection that I get as I sit alone to determine how I did at trying to emulate Jesus within that day, that's a happy place for me. You know, when you talk about nature, nature has a way of restoring balance. You know, the rhythm of waves, the steadiness of mountains, the quiet rustle of leaves, all of those things remind us that life has patterns beyond our control. And yet it's deeply dependable in nature. There is no judgment. There's no competition. There are no deadlines. You know, the mind slows and then the body unclenches and the soul remembers its place in something larger. And that's always, anywhere where that happens, it's very powerful for me. And I think these things dissolve anxiety and it makes space for peace. And so other things that bring me peace, I would say music, gentle melodies, stillness and reflection, you know, practices like prayer, meditation, or just simply sitting quietly. Love and connection, being with people who truly see me for me, encourage me, or accept me, and are always there to build my deep inner calm. Service to others is a place where I find peace. Peace grows when we shift the focus from ourselves to the good of others. I always say that we fill ourselves by emptying ourselves into other people. I think order and routine bring peace for me. And then beauty and creativity. I am such a non-jealous person. I love to see other people display the gift that God gave them. In fact, that's what I look for most when I meet people. What God give you? What God give you? Show me. I can't wait to see it. I love to marvel at the beauty of ability that has been given to people. And then gratitude is a place where I find peace. I just think naming what is good, it just shifts attention from what is missing or what is abundant. You know, just creating contentment. And gratitude has always had a way of establishing peace in the person giving gratitude and the person accepting it. And so I just think there's a common thread that peace comes from places, it comes from practices that ground us, connect us, and remind us of our meaning.
Excellent. So we've given so many tips about how to find peace. But the reality is that some of our students live in chaos. To get to school can be chaotic. To be in school and in the classroom can be fearful. To go back home can be a challenge. And unfortunately, to live in a home can be a situation that no one should be a part of. I am very, very passionate about praying for students over the summer. And when we had COVID, I prayed a lot, because the reality was that there were some children who were stuck in the house with their abusers.
Yes, I felt the same.
And they didn't know how to get out. Some of our teachers don't know how to deal with this. They don't know why the child is angry. They don't know why the child doesn't want to do the work. They don't know why the child keeps falling asleep in the classroom.
Correct.
You talked about having worked in the field of safety when it comes to working in the schools.
Yes.
Give me an example that you could give to a teacher to build a safe space in the classroom for a child that's going through chaos.
Well, and first let me say that I shared the same concerns that you shared, especially during COVID, but those thoughts never leave my mind. And one of the reasons why it doesn't is because I am a parent. And when I see children, I see the face of my children on other people's children's bodies, and I feel the same way about those children as I would my own. And I feel a great responsibility to children. If I see a child who's by themselves, that's my child until someone responsible comes along for them. Here's what I would say to teachers. And for me, it's about inspiring peace in students who live in chaos, because again, all the children belong to all of us, and we have a great responsibility to them. And so every adult should see it this way. School is not a reflection of the community or the situation that children live in. School should be the aspiration, and it also should be the help when it needs to be. So I would say this for the educator who may be dealing with a child who has a void in peace because they live in a world of chaos. First and foremost, be an anchor for that child. Never fall into the reality of how hard it is to teach every day that you lose sight of the fact that you're dealing with children. These are children, and they need something different, because as you stated, they could be sleeping in class, they could be cutting up. The worst thing that we could do is throw children away. So be an anchor. Chaos at home or in the community makes life unpredictable, even for adults. Students, just like adults, crave stability. Children need stability. A calm teacher or a mentor who greets them the same way every day keeps their routines clear, models steady behavior, becomes a safe anchor. I would say give the children a voice and a choice. Chaos often, in my opinion, comes with powerlessness. You know, offering students a say in their learning or small choices in the classroom, it restores a sense of control and dignity. My wife, who's a counselor, always talks about how everybody needs a level of control. Well, think about the people who almost have none, like you said, are in an abusive situation or a situation that breeds chaos. You know, control and dignity are ingredients for peace. I would say to educators, teaching calming practices, breathing exercises, journaling, stretching, brief moments of mindfulness can help students learn, you know, not only to regulate their emotions, but to comport themselves in ways that are powerful and meaningful for their life, even when their environment is stormy. I would say build safe communities. And this is a school system's responsibility too. We're part of the community. We should be helping to build the community. When a classroom feels like family, full of trust, respect, kindness, students find refuge. You know, peace grows where belonging is strong. And so everybody has to belong. Connecting students to their purpose is another one, I would say. Encourage them to dream, encourage them to set goals, encourage them to see beyond their present struggles. You know, purpose gives peace because I think it lifts the mind above immediate chaos and towards hope and possibility. And the last thing that I would say is to affirm their worth. You know, people living in chaos don't believe that they're worth anything. And that is one of the saddest things I can ever imagine. We just talked about before, God has given us all gifts, the power to become and to shine that light on the world. And for someone's light to be so dim that they don't believe they have any worth, we have to do something about that. So affirm their worth. You know, many students living in chaos, they hear more criticism than encouragement. You know, simple affirmations like, I see you, you matter, you have greatness in you. This can quiet internal battles and help students believe in their own resilience. I think when we do this, you know, we teach them that peace for students in chaos is not found by erasing the storm, but by teaching them to carry calm within it. Does that make sense? To carry calm within the storm, because a lot of times we can't erase the storm. So I think those things would help children tremendously, and it's our responsibility.
You know who else it would help? Excuse
who
me.
Who is that?
The teachers.
I agree.
Because you can't teach something without experiencing it.
You're right. And empathy is the highest form of intelligence. That's been proven. So in order to be that, you have to say, you could sit and judge if you wanted to, but you're wasting your time and it's not going to produce anything. But to have empathy, like you said, that would go back to the comment I made earlier. We fill ourselves by emptying ourselves. Mm-hmm. Part of emptying yourself is stepping into another person's shoes and saying, I hate that you live that way. How can I be of assistance? And after all, isn't that the responsibility of the people who chose children over other endeavors? You chose them over money. You chose them over fame. You chose them over a lot of things. So why wouldn't that responsibility also lend towards you seeing them for what they are? People who need help. Children by nature need help. Human children do. And so somebody has to step up and be that great. And I think the educators should step in and be that great.
So I'm going to let you give some closing thoughts.
Sure.
And what my hope is that any child, any teenager or tween, any teen any young adult, any seasoned adult that's listening to this, that you begin to see other people different.
Yes.
Because sometimes we can get so caught up with outward behaviors that we never look at inward reasons. And nobody wants to live a life without peace.
That's right.
Nobody wants to be miserable. Nobody wants to be sad. Nobody wants to be depressed. You know, we would not have so many cases of suicide if people were happy being depressed. We want people who feel like I can make it. And I'm already given the invitation next semester. I'll see you again.
Yes. Yes.
We're not going to wait till next year. I'll see you next semester.
That's right. I'll be ready. I'm always here for you.
But I want you to kind of close us out. I'll tell you where you can send your questions and things like that after Dr. Hendricks gives us his closing thoughts. But I hope that this first guest, repeat guest, has said something that will change your mind about other people, but first about yourself.
So with that being said, I'll go back to what we said earlier. Peace is more than the absence of conflict. It is the presence of calmness, of fairness and wholeness in our lives. For students living with anxiety over, you know, anxiety or chaos, peace does not mean their struggles vanish. It means having the inner strength, the supportive relationships, and the consistent environments that allow them to breathe, to hope, and to keep moving forward. And the enemies of peace, fear, injustice, chaos, division, neglect, they may surround them. They may surround our students. But peace can still be cultivated through love, through connection, through order, by way of purpose, and by way of gratitude. And nature shows us this truth, even in storms. There is balance, and even in broken places, new life can grow. If we teach students to carry the same balance within themselves, then peace will not just be fleeting or a fleeting moment of quiet. It will be a steady force that sustains them and guide them through every storm throughout the rest of their life. But like everything, we have to do the teaching early, and it has to be consistent. And then it has to go from the theory of conversation to the practice at each situation where peace is threatened. But children do not fail. Grown people fail children. And so it's up to the adults to step in to make sure that children win. Because after all, that's the greatest responsibility that we have on earth, is to make sure that the decent side of humanity continues to push forward. And peace is so decent, it has to be at the forefront. So thank you for this opportunity, Tracy. Good to see you.
It's great to see you again. Listen, thank you so much. Because I think that this is one of those podcasts where people are going to listen to it again and again and again, because they'll say, now, what did he say about? What did he say about?
I pray. Because,
and it has been so meaningful to our team to have you come back and share from your heart. Because for those of you who don't know, and if you joined us after we got started, none of this is scripted. The questions are scripted, but none of the responses. Like, he is not sitting there with a notebook saying, this is what I believe. No, he spoke from his heart. And so that's why I believe that this will help everyone who listens to it. We want you to have peace.
Yeah.
We want you to live a life that even if there is chaos going on, you realize that when you go to bed at night, you can actually go to sleep.
That's right.
And when life circumstances come, you have what it takes to
That's
be
right.
overcome those circumstances.
More than enough.
We would love to hear from you. Please send us an email at thekittypodcast@gmail.com, thekittypodcast. And that's kind of long. At gmail.com. We may have to have a contest to break that down a little bit. But we are the Kitty Podcast. And we hope that whatever we have said today has helped you. Join us again. We release our new podcast on Mondays at 12:15. So join us again, and we cannot wait to talk to you about peace. Again, one more thing. I hesitated because I didn't want to forget to say this. We do have another podcast that Dr. Hendricks is on. You can find him under the Hope Podcast. He was our first guest. No, he was our second guest. And so if you want to hear more from Dr. Hendricks, then please, by all means, go and listen to that podcast. And then when he starts his own podcast, or if he decides that he's going to do a show with us,
right.
Then you'll get to hear him much more often. I hope you have a great day. We want you to always be happy. We want you to be healthy, and we want you to be hopeful. God bless you all. See you later.